verse 23. I want to spend a little time on this verse this evening. We've seen this before, but I want to go into a little more detail than what we have in the past. So, Proverbs 27, verse 23. Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks, and look well to thy herds. And let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, once again we pray that you'll bless now this Bible study this evening. Give us wisdom, give us understanding. Help us to know how we can please you with what we do with our finances and what you have entrusted us with. Bless now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible says, be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks, and look well to thy herds. One of the great Bible principles as far as finances is concerned is knowing where you spend your money, what you spend your money for, and being organized as far as financial spending is concerned. We've seen basically that the probably basic thought or basic philosophy behind finances is simply this: the proper attitude. Matter of fact, you can apply that to anything in Christianity. Once a person gets the proper attitude, and think about this evening, and truth of the matter is, there's a proper attitude for just about anything that we do in the Christian life. And you could preach several messages on that right there. What proper attitude you ought to have in each one of the areas of the Christian life. But of course, the proper attitude concerning finances is that we are stewards of God's money. And that's the attitude that every one of us must get. First of all, before God can ever begin blessing us financially, is to, number one, first of all, get down the attitude that we are stewards of God's money. Everything that we have belongs to God. And until we get that straightened out in our mind, first of all, we'll never really get everything else down and never get God's blessings completely and totally upon our finances. And many times people can earn money and make money, and you can get it dishonestly and everything else in all the world, but you're not going to get God's blessings on it. The amount of money that a person has does not mean that God has blessed them with that. You can have a little money and have God's blessings upon it, and have that money go a long way and have God's blessings upon the money that God has entrusted you with. Having a lot of money does not mean you have been blessed by God. Crooks have a lot of money. Doesn't mean God blessed them. Mafia's got a lot of money. And it doesn't mean that God has blessed them. The Catholic Church has a lot of money, but they didn't get it from God. And so, you know, there's a lot of things that have money, but it doesn't mean necessarily God blessed them with that money. So we have to, first of all, get our attitude right concerning our finances and realize that everything that we own belongs to God and we are the stewards of it. So here's what a person must do. We must, first of all, know the state of our flocks. Once we get our attitude right, we must know where our money's going, how much money we've got. In other words, you can put it in this awful, horrible word that most people hate today. It's the word called budget. That's how we today know the state of our flocks and the state of our herds is by a budget. Now, the second thing is this. First of all, we realize we've got to have a budget. God says we've got to know. You've got to know where every penny is going. You've got to know where the money is coming from, where the money is going, and we ought to know that. Therefore, our money must be budgeted, must have some kind of record-keeping system in order to know that. And if we just receive our money and just spend it out without ever budgeting it, without ever planning, you find in the Word of God, God expects us to plan. First of all, He expects us to plan for eternity. He expects us to get saved, to plan for eternity. God expects us to plan for the future, for eternity. And one of the things we can plan for eternity with is with our finances. And the Bible says, don't lay up treasures here upon earth that moth and dust rust doth corrupt, but lay up treasures in heaven, in eternity. What you do with your money can lay up treasures in eternity rather than just things that you're going to leave behind down here someday when you die or when Jesus comes back. And so we must have a plan for our money, plan our finances. Matter of fact, a budget can actually be used for several different things. First of all, why is a budget necessary? To help those who are not living within their means to do so. We said, first of all, when you take your expenses and you take your income, many people, their expenses are greater than their income. That's why they're behind on bills, because they have spent more than they have made. If you were not spending more than you had made, then you would never be behind on bills, unless you're just forgetful. But any time a person gets behind or they have if they owe money, it's because they've spent more than what they have made. If you've borrowed money from any place or anybody, then you have spent more money than what you have made. And so that, first of all, what a budget will do, it'll help us to discipline our money so that we will live within the means that God has given to us or entrusted us with. Secondly, it helps those with potential surplus to fix their level of expenses. If you have potential surplus, instead of just allowing all that money to be wasted, it could be used for God's work and for furthering the gospel, and we can live on fixed expenses. Even if we have an extra surplus coming in, it can be used for God and laying up treasures in heaven rather than just for things here upon this earth where rust doth corrupt. And thirdly, to establish a reasonable level of living for those who want to do so. So we can establish a reasonable level of living without just always spending our money on wants and desires, but to establish a level of living for the necessities of life and to establish that so we can live within the income that we have. There are basically two tendencies when starting a budget. Now, here's the first tendency. As you sit down and you begin to plan a budget, here's the first thing you're going to do. You're going to leave out a lot of things. That's first of all what you're going to do. When you plan a budget, you're going to take your income and say, here's what my income is, here's what my budget is, and you're going to write down your budget. And what the truth of the matter is, you spend a lot more money than what you just wrote down in your budget. Because we spend money on things that are not budgeted. And that's the big problem right there. If it's not in the budget, you can't spend it because you don't have the money for it. So the first tendency is this, is to make an unrealistic budget. Or other words, you'll put down everything there, and you'll put down your expenses here, and you'll put down a dollar a month for medical expenses, you know. And you say, well, that's all I can afford. Yeah, it might be all you can afford, but the truth of the matter is you're not going to be able to do it. Something's going to come from something else for medical expenses. Or you're going to say, I'll put $5 a week for food. Yeah, you might put that down, but you're probably going to spend more than $5 a week for food. Say, well, that's all I can afford, man. I got this car payment, I got this house payment, and I've got my TV payment, and I've got my pool payment, and I've got this payment and that payment, and my stereo payment, and everything else in the world. I don't have any money left for food. Yeah, well, something's got to go. And so the first tendency you have is making an unrealistic budget. Here's the second tendency. The second tendency is this. You get the budget all laid out, but then you go back to your old way of spending. That's the second tendency right there. Many folks say, well, preacher, I've got a budget. Yeah, I know you do. Yeah, when's the last time you looked at it? When's the last time you lived by it? And many people have written down someplace in their house. Now, 5 years ago, I wrote down a budget. And I've got a budget somewhere. I know I do. And the truth of the matter is, what a person's got to do is they've got to live by that budget. Just writing a budget down, there's nothing magic about a budget. A budget is not going to get you financially free unless you work the budget, unless you live within the budget that you have written down. Everybody, if they're within above the poverty level, I don't know what the poverty level is nowadays, $7,000-$8,000, something like that, maybe up to around $12,000, $11,000, $12,000 poverty level. Anybody that's above the poverty level can live, according to national statistics, you can survive upon this planet, anything above the poverty level. And so you can fix a budget, you can live, your necessities can be taken care of within those means or within that budget. So first of all, we need to have a budget. One thing we'll do is make an unrealistic budget. Now, here's what you've got to do with a budget. Look at Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 2. Here's something we've talked about many times. One of the purposes of the book of Proverbs, found in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 2, it says, to know wisdom and instruction. We've gone over that word instruction before. The word instruction simply means this, means discipline. Discipline. As a matter of fact, 26 times that word is found just in the book of Proverbs. In Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. The Bible says that fools despise discipline. Or fools despise instruction. Verse 8 says, my son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Or hear the discipline of thy father. Many times in the Word of God you find that word. Matter of fact, in Proverbs chapter 4. In verse 1 it says, hear ye children the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding, or the discipline of a father. In chapter 5 and verse 12, and it says, and say, how have I hated instruction? And my heart despised reproof. This is talking about the foolish man. He hated destruction. And in verse 23, it says, he shall die without instruction or without discipline. The foolish man does not discipline. Also in chapter 6, verse 23, it says, for the commandment is a lamp, the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life, or discipline is the way of life. Look in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 18. We won't look at all 26 times, but notice this one right here. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 18 says, poverty and shame shall be to him that refuseth instruction, but he that regardeth reproof shall be honored. So we see that a person that does not receive instruction, who does not discipline himself, will receive poverty and shame. In other words, if you do not discipline your finances, you'll end up in poverty or in financial bondage, so to speak. So it's very important to discipline finances. Of course, a person needs discipline in all areas of life, but a person does need discipline in this area of finances. So a budget must be disciplined. Budget isn't just something you will write up, and I'll show you in just a moment how to write up a budget, how to plan a budget, and then how to live by the budget that you have planned. And so as you write up a budget and plan that budget, you've got to live by that budget. That budget becomes your boss. And that's what the biggest problem is with many of us, with our finance. We don't have a boss over our finances. So you must get a boss over your finances. You must get something that disciplines you. And that boss is your budget. When you make that budget becomes your boss. When we voted on a budget here at the Grace Bible Baptist Church, that budget became the boss of the checkbook. You can't write anything down that there isn't any money already in the account for that. If there's no money in that account, then you can't write a check for that. You just can't do it, because that becomes the boss. You say, well, here's our need, and what you got to do is make a new budget. Or else raise your budget or do something, raise some money for it, but you can't get it without the money to do it. And that's what every person individually must do in their home, is they must make that budget their boss. So, well, this is something I want. Well, is there money in the budget for it? Then you probably don't need it. You got to live by that budget. Make the budget the boss. Here's some steps in making a budget. Basically, you need two different budgets. If the ushers would come, I want you to pass out this right over here, if you would, please. If ushers come in, just pass those out to all the adults, if you would, please. This sheet right over here, not this one, but this one right over here. And make sure everybody gets one of those. And we'll just give you just kind of a help there. And you can make some notes on that and go over that as we talk to some things concerning the budget. Basically, everybody needs two budgets. When you first begin making a budget, you need two budgets. Now, here's the two budgets you need. Number one, you need your present budget. That's the first thing you need to do. Put down presently what you are spending. That's what I said last week. What a person ought to do for 1 month is they ought to write down every penny they spend. Many people don't realize that even the $5 purchases had to come from someplace. Or going out and buying a soda it still costs money to do. It had to come from something, somewhere in your budget. Whatever you spend has to come from something within your budget. So you need, first of all, your present budget. And probably, with many folks, within the present budget, they're already extended beyond their present income and already in debt. The second thing you need is your planned budget. What you plan to do, what you want to do with your budget, what you ought to do with your money. So those are the two things that you need to basically do. First of all, you make down what you're presently spending, and then make down the budget that you ought to be spending, and then live within the second one. So here's some things, or some steps then, in making a budget. Step number one, if you look at this budget guide here, the first thing you need to do is list your available income for the month. Now, personally, I make a weekly budget. You can do either way you want to. If you get paid twice a month, make a monthly budget. If you have a weekly salary, maybe it's better for you to make a weekly budget. I personally live on a weekly budget. In other words, what I do, if I have a yearly expense, I divide, for instance, I pay car insurance twice a year. Every 6 months, I pay car insurance. So what I do is I take the total for 1 year of that car insurance, and I divide that by 52. That's how much money I have to budget towards car insurance every week. That means if that money is in the checkbook, you can't spend it. It's not. At the end of the month, if you haven't spent that money in the budgeted account, it's not a windfall. So most people have to realize, it's not. You can't go, man, look at the extra money I got in the checkbook. And that's how most people live, by the checkbook balance instead of by the budget balance. And that's the difference right there. And when we go over the church budget, or church finances, just a minute, you'll see what I mean. And there might be more in the checkbook than what you have available to spend on certain things. Might say, your checkbook might say $100, but that doesn't mean that $50 of that might be saved up for your insurance that you're going to pay in a couple months. And so you can't spend everything that's in the checkbook. And there's different systems that you can use. And but first of all, you got to figure out what your available monthly income is. And there's some ideas there: salary, interest, dividends, notes, rents. Put down your total income for the month when you're figuring out your budget, or if you want to, you could figure it out weekly, as I do. You'll put down your total gross income. What you're going to need to find before you can work out your budget is what your net spendable income is. So, second thing you're going to do in making up your budget is you're going to list down all of your expenses. So make a list of all of your expenses, and we'll go into these in detail also. So first I'm going to figure out my income. Then I'm going to figure out all of my expenses. And then hopefully I'm going to subtract my expenses from my income. Now, if your expenses are less than your income, if you go through and total everything it's going to cost you to live for a month, I mean, you've got to put down everything. If you drink a soda every day, you've got to put that in the budget. You've got to spend money for it. It's not going to come free. Anything you do has to be budgeted, and you must put that down. So whatever it is, and list down all of your expenses for the month. If your expenses are greater than your income, then you are a definite candidate for a budget. You are definitely in need of one. If your income is greater than your expenses, then all you need to do is budget your money and live within that budget to control your living expenses. But everybody needs to live on a budget. And if it equals, then what you're going to do is probably have to cut back a little bit someplace. You want it at least to equal out, and better yet, to have more income than you do expenses. So first of all, list your income. Secondly, list your expenditures. And thirdly, compare your income and your expenses. And that's basically what a budget is. Let's go into detail then on here. Your net spendable income is this: your total gross income minus the tithe minus the taxes. Now, most people are not self-employed, therefore your taxes are already taken care of. Your employer has done that for you. If you are self-employed, then what you've got to do is you've got to budget your taxes also, and you've got to pay your taxes quarterly, or depends on how much you make, monthly, whatever it is. And most folks wouldn't have to pay it monthly, but at least quarterly, send in your estimated taxes if you're self-employed. Otherwise, your employer usually takes your taxes out for you, and then subtract your tithe also. That will give you your net, or tithes and offering, that'll give you your net spendable income. That's what you've got left. Remember we said last week, you've got to, first of all, just as a token that you've given your income to God, that it all is God's, just as a token of that, the minimum that a person gives to God is the tithe. If a person cannot even give the minimum that they gave under the law, the minimum of what they gave under the Old Testament, there's no place in the Bible you find anybody giving less than the tithe unto God. That was the minimum. You can give as much as you want to. You can give 50%, or R.G. Letourneau gave 90% of his income. You can give as much as you want to, but the minimum as a token to God is the tithe, or the 10%. And so that comes out of your gross income, because that is the first fruits. If you're tithing after the government's taken, then you're not giving God the first fruits. You're giving the government the first fruits. And you've got to give God the first fruits. Number one is the tithe. First thing you take out of your income is the tithe. And then the taxes, and then that'll leave you with your net spendable income. Now, here's how to come up with a budget. I'm going to give you some percentages here that'll add up to 100%. And what you can do is take this home, and you can figure out with your own expenses, whether you're paying too much for something or if you're okay on some things. And many of these things are what we would call budget busters. What'll happen is you'll get way out of kilter on one of these things, and you'll say, man, I don't see how in the world I can live when I'm off on one of these things right here. So what we'll do is go over some of the things. Now, here's some, well, let me give you four things, first of all, that are some budget problems. Here's some problems in the budget. Number one problem in making a budget is bookkeeping. We'll call bookkeeping errors. Lack of bookkeeping. That's the number one problem that a person will have in their budget. If you are to have a budget, you must keep good records. You've got to do it. If you don't keep good records, you cannot have a budget. Now, by good records, I mean two things. Number one, you must have a written budget. And I'll show you how detailed I get on my budget. You don't have to go as detailed as I go. But I'll show you basically what I do with a budget. Secondly, what you've got to do is you've got to keep your checking account balanced. You've got to keep the books balanced. Keep balanced with the bank. You'd be surprised. Maybe you wouldn't be. You'd be surprised the people in the country that never balance a checkbook. You'd be surprised the number of people that don't know how to balance a checkbook in the country. Never balance their checkbook. And every week, every month, they just get their check statement and they just spend, basically, to try to keep it within the check statement. Hopefully, they don't ever go beyond that. And try to keep a couple $100 in there just so they have a little bit of surplus there, so they don't go beyond. You've got to, it's necessary, to balance every month, balance your checkbook. You've got to do it. Unless you keep very detailed budget accounts. I'll show you how you can do that also, and you never have to balance your checkbook. But you got to keep up your other balance properly. But so you got to keep proper records. Necessary. Number one problem is not keeping proper records. Here's a good way to keep proper records. Number one, it's good to have a check register with your checks. Even better than that, I have found, is the duplicate check system. That right there, if you have more than one person using the checkbook, which is usually dangerous. But if you have more than one person using the checkbook, the ideal thing to have is the duplicate checks. Otherwise, you have to have a check register, and a good thing to do is to write down the checks already in that check register. If you forget to write a check in there, you're in trouble. And what you usually have to do is wait about a week and call the bank. How much was that check I wrote last week? And so keep proper records. One way to keep from doing that is have duplicate checks. And you always have a record of it doing that. So one way, if you have a check register, write the checks down already. After every check is written, make sure you put down there in detail in the check register what was written. It's usually good to have one person keep the balance on that. So that when you make a mistake, he can go back and find his own mistakes, but find somebody else's mistakes. And so it's good to have one person at least keep the check register up as far as the balance is concerned. So those are some things concerning keeping your checkbook balance proper and balancing your checking account with the bank. Secondly, here's a second problem in budgets. Problem number one is your bookkeeping system, or errors in the bookkeeping system. Problem number two is hidden debts. Hidden debts. Those things that are going to come due that you forgot to put in your budget. That's why we've got to put everything in there. Hidden debts. For instance, tax on your house. If you don't have an escrow account at the bank, which is not normally a good thing to do all the time, if you have taxes on your house that come due every year, you've got to have something monthly where you're going to have at the end of the year, you're going to have that money to pay your taxes with. Otherwise, when tax time comes, you're not going to have the money, and you're going to go out and borrow it or rob Peter to pay Paul or something to pay that off. That's got to be a budget account. Insurance on the house, health insurance, dental expenses, medical expenses, many hidden expenses, flat tire, several things that may happen. those things I'm experienced with right there. And hidden expense. You've got to have money aside for those emergencies or for those hidden expenses or hidden debts. Third thing that is a definite problem is impulse buying. That's one of the big problems in a budget. Number one is your bookkeeping. Number two is hidden debts. Number three is impulse buying, or going down just because it's on sale and purchasing it, or seeing something as you walk through the store and say, man, that'd be a nice thing to have, and buying it on sight. Let me give you some rules on how, if you're an impulse buyer, let me give you some rules on how to break impulse buying. Number one, use a delayed purchase system. I'll explain that. A delayed purchase system. Here's all that means. If you want to purchase something that is not within your budget, if it's going to come out of your savings or something, if you want to purchase something that is not a budget purchase, wait 30 days to purchase it. That's the delayed purchase system. If you don't have the budgeted money right there to purchase something, wait 30 days to purchase it. If God wants you to have it in 30 days, you're still going to be there in 30 days. So you don't have to worry about it. If God does want you to have it, then it's not going to be there in 30 days, so you don't have to worry about it anyway. But use a delayed purchase system. So if it's not, I'm talking about things that are not in your budget. Then during that 30 days, do this. Check at least two other places for the same product or the same thing. Check at least two other places for the same thing that you wanted to buy and check prices to make sure you're getting the best buy when that 30 days is up. So number one, delay your purchase for 30 days. Pray about it for 30 days. Wait on it for 30 days. And then number two, check two other places and check prices on it to make sure that what you are purchasing is the very best buy that you can get. Number three, allow only one new purchase at a time. Don't have 10 things on your 30-day system. At the end of 30 days, they're going to buy these 10 things. Only allow one new purchase at a time. I mean, that lowers you down to just 12 buys a year of things that are not budgeted. So only allow one thing at a time. Now, you got to remember, you've got to discipline yourself. 26 times in the book of Proverbs, the Bible says that we ought to be disciplined. The wise man is disciplined. The foolish man is not disciplined. You must discipline yourselves in this area of finances. If you're to reach financial freedom, you've got to do it. You've got to discipline yourself in these areas, or you'll never accomplish it. Number four, never use credit cards for impulse purchases. Capital N, capital E, capital V, capital R. Never. Never use credit cards for impulse purchases. And rule number five for impulse purchases, number five, stay out of the stores. And that's a foolproof method right there. Just stay out of the stores. You're not in the stores, you're not going to purchase anything by impulse. Here's the fourth problem in budgets that most folks run into. The fourth problem is gifts. Just follow a couple rules on gifts. Number one, just make a calendar so you can plan your gifts throughout the year. Secondly, never use credit cards to purchase gifts. We'll have this never use credit cards under everything we say here. Never use credit cards for impulse purchases. Never use credit cards for purchasing gifts. Now, if you're going to discipline yourself, you've got to do that. And if you're going to live within the budget, you've got to do that. Okay, let's go over this budget then, and let's find out what a proper budget is. And what I'm going to give you is not necessarily my personal budget, but I'm going to give you what financial consultants would suggest within a budget. And my personal budget is far superior to this, but I'll give you basically what financial consultants or experts would say is how much you ought to spend on each particular thing. Now, keep in mind this. This budget or these percentages are only good probably within a salary range of maybe $12,000 to $30,000. You can basically live within your needs within under $30,000. Anything above that, basically you got some surplus money. And so basically this will go for anything probably within $12,000 to $30,000, maybe a little bit above that. But you can use these or vary these within that. If you have income higher than $30,000, then you can raise your percentages in some areas or raise the amount in some areas. First of all, let's look at housing. This is, for most people, a need, a necessity, housing. And for housing, you must include with this either your mortgage or your rent, your insurance on your housing, your taxes, your electricity, gas, water, any sanitation, telephone, all of your utilities within that, your maintenance on the house, anything that you're going to do to the house, painting, fix-up, anything you do if you own, all those things must be included within that. So basically, here's what you should be spending on housing. Usually about one-third, or we'll put it this down, 32%, about 32% of your net spendable income ought to be towards housing. Now, what happens many times is people will go far beyond that and get themselves greatly in debt by going beyond the 32%. Here's a basic rule to go by in whether to purchase a house or not purchase a house. Whether to, many folks say, well, you ought to buy a house instead of renting a house. Well, not necessarily. It depends on what your income is. Remember, the key thing in every purchase that you make and every decision you make is your own personal income. You've got to go by that. It doesn't matter if you're making money owning a house if you can't afford the house. You're better off renting than you are buying. So basically, if total expenses completely on a house, on purchasing a new house presently at the time, maintenance, you've got to put maintenance in there. You've got to put everything involved with keeping that house. If it goes above 40%, you better not get it. Better not purchase it. If your expenses are going to be on 40%, don't buy. Get a cheaper house or rent, but don't ever go beyond 40% in purchasing a house. That's total. That's taxes, everything involved in it, and of your net income. Never above 40% of your net income. Secondly, don't ever finance your down payment. Don't ever get a second mortgage for your down payment. If you don't have the down payment, don't mortgage your down payment. Get a second mortgage for it and have two payments on that. Don't do that. Always consider your monthly upkeep on a house. Monthly upkeep on a house is basically going to be about 10% of your payment on that house. That's basically what your upkeep is going to come to. That's including all the upkeep on the house. Basically, it's going to come up to about 10%. So there are costs involved in owning above renting also that a person must realize. If trading a house, make sure it's what you need, not just what you want to have. And then when checking the insurance on the house, at least get three estimates. Always good to get three estimates on everything you purchase before purchase to make sure you get the best price. Okay, the second thing. First of all, is housing, 32% of your net income or your net spendable income. Secondly, food. Now, most people spend far more on food than is necessary. And some spend less on food, but the truth of the matter is most people buy the wrong kinds of food. And that's the biggest problem right there with the food area. So here's what you ought to put down. 15% of net spendable income ought to go towards food. Now, of course, that's going to vary a little bit on the size of your family and the size of the people within the family. So about 15%, basically. Now, remember, this is not, you don't have to go by this guide right here. If you go up in one area, you've got to come down in another area because you can't go... Talked to one person. They said, well, I'm 40% on the house, I'm 25% on food, I'm 25% on car, I'm 15% on entertainment, I'm 25% on... I said, you can't do that. You can only go up to 100%. That's the limit, you know? And some people, man, they've made their budget up, and they've got about 150% in their budget of their net spendable income. Now, you've got to keep it under 100%. And so if you go up in one area on this budget, you got to go down in another area. And many people are like, man, you just can't live that. Out in California, you can't live on 32% for your housing. Well, if you can't live on 32% for your housing, then you're going to have to go down in something else. You're going to have to eat less food or drive less of a car or do something different. But if you're going to go up in housing, you're going to have to go down in something else. So food, basically, 15%. And many people have bad habits in purchasing food, which causes them... Now, remember this also. I'm talking about people that are on a limited income. I'm talking about people that want to be able to live within their means. I'm talking about people that have to watch what they spend. Now, if you make $1 million a year, you can go eat whatever you want to, I'm sure. Probably wouldn't hurt you any. But if you're on a limited income, you're going to have to watch what you eat and what you spend your money for. Rule number one in purchasing food. And if you don't do this, you're going to be back to the impulse buying again. Rule number one is put in. Most women do not want to do this because it's time consuming. Rule number one is plan your meals first. Plan your meals first. Write down what the meals for the week, and then look in the cupboards and find out what you need to eat those meals, and then go out and purchase what you need to eat those meals. And it's just part of planning. It's just part of planning what you're going to... And here's what some folks do. They say, "Well, I'm going to go out and eat three times a week, and go out to eat three times a week." You don't realize this, but going out to eat will not reduce your food bill by probably 1%. You're going to purchase just about as much food by eating at home if you ate out two or three times a week. So that's all added expense also. So going out to eat is not going to reduce your food bill by very much. Unless you ate out every meal, then you wouldn't have any food bill. but if you eat out like two or three times a week, you're not going to reduce very much your food bill. And it's very surprising, but the truth of the matter is, you figure out how much you spend per meal, and it comes out to a lot less than what you're going to spend in the store. So about 15% of your net spendable income ought to go towards food. Always have a written list of needs. Conserve gas by buying food for longer time periods. Avoid buying when hungry. When you go into the store hungry, and you'll buy everything that's on the shelves, especially if you're a sugarholic. But you'll buy it all, everything with sugar in it. Fourthly, use a calculator, if possible, of total purchases. Fifthly, reduce or eliminate paper products. Cut down on paper products. Use cloth napkins, or if you can't put it within your budget. But eliminate as much as you can paper products that cost money. Avoid processed and sugar-coated cereals. Avoid prepared foods, such as TV dinners. It cuts out some of the newlyweds, huh? Try house brand products, canned products. They're normally cheaper. They're normally just as good. Shop for advertised specials. Purchase milk, bread, eggs from special outlet stores, if possible and available. Many times they keep you from running down to the store just to buy some milk. Keep some dry milk on hand. And in between times, just use some dry milk, skim milk, to keep you from using $5 of gas to run down and buy another gallon of milk in between times. Avoid buying non-grocery items in grocery supermarkets except on sale. For instance, most of the things that they have in there that are not grocery items, like your soaps and detergents and things like that, many times you can get them cheaper at like a cut-rate drugstore or something like that, deodorants, things like that. You can probably get cheaper someplace else. So avoid getting those all at that store. Use coupons. Go through and buy the advertised specials. Look at the window and find out what's on sale. But if you're going to live within a budget on your food, you've got to find ways to cut your prices. Can as much vegetables as you can. Use canning. Do as much as you can to cut back on the expenses of the food, and do as much as you can personally by yourself without having to do all the preparation that the store does on those things. The third thing then is automobile. How much should I spend on car? Here's another one of the big problems in people that make budgets is the money they spend on their automobile. We are a generation of people that are proud of our machines and usually spend too much on those. Many people will buy a brand new car when they can't afford a brand new car, and they should have bought a used vehicle. But usually automobile to buy a car. This will include gas and oil, insurance, license, taxes. By the way, that's another thing. You have to buy a license every year. You have to have that budgeted. Tags, other expenses, insurance. Have those things budgeted so they're not surprise items that come up one day. And you gotta, how am I going to pay it off? and borrow the money to get it. Everything must be budgeted. Even put within your budget, repair. Find out how much it cost you in repair last year and parts for fixing your car. Budget that for this year, how much it's going to cost you, basically. So you're going to, some of the things you're going to have to estimate, some of the things you're going to have to go from last year and take a complete list of everything you spent last year. Every year what I do is I go through the entire checkbook. I write down every check and put it within an account and figure out what everything was spent for, everything that's within the checkbook. So you have to budget everything. Maintenance, repair, replacement, all those things should come out to 15% of your net spendable income. Okay, we'll have to quickly go through the rest of these. Debts. Be good to keep your debts down to 5%. It's good to keep your debts down to zero. Most folks have some debts. So it's good to keep your debts down to about 5%. Entertainment and recreation. So, preacher, we're not going to have any entertainment and recreation. You will too. You're going to do it whether you have it in your budget or not, so you may as well budget it. If you don't have something in your budget for going out to eat, then don't go out to eat. If you don't have something in your budget for vacation, then don't go on a vacation. If you don't have something in your budget for any other kind of entertainment, then just don't do it. Because the money's got to come from someplace. And so put down within your budget entertainment, eating out, trips, babysitters, activities, vacation, anything else that you want to do. If you're going to take a vacation this summer, start saving the money up now for the vacation. Budget it now for the vacation, for when the vacation comes. So your recreation and entertainment should be about 7%. That includes your vacation, everything, and recreation, entertainment. By the way, you're a crook if you use your creditor's money to go on vacation with. If you owe money to somebody else and you go out to eat, you're a crook. If you're using their money to go out to eat on, or you use their money to go on vacation with. And so don't use your credit. If you owe money and you can't budget within your budget a vacation, then don't take one. If you can't put within your budget going out to eat, then don't go out to eat. If you can't put within your budget recreation, then don't have recreation. You must have it within your budget. Insurance. We go over insurance. We skipped insurance. Insurance, 5%. Entertainment, recreation, 7%. Clothing, 5%. Medical, dental, 5%. Skip savings. Savings, 5%. Miscellaneous, 6%. That'll include your toiletry, cosmetics, barber, beauty, laundry, cleaning, allowances, lunches, gifts, anything else that goes in there. Extra cash, that would all come out of your miscellaneous account. That'd be 6%. If you add all those up, that should come out to about 100%. So what you need to do is figure out what your total expenses are and then make a budget. Like I said again, you don't have to use exactly these figures, but your figures do have to come out to 100% or less. You're going to have to figure out what your budget is. Now, here's what I do. What I brought with me is the church budget, the church book, and I do the same thing for my own personal budget. I do the exact same thing. I use same kind of paper, use everything. Here's the budget that we as a church voted on. Every one of these accounts receives this much money, that amount of money, every week. That amount of money goes into that account. So what we do for the church account, you probably can't see this, but this is a three-column ledger sheet. The three-column ledger sheet, on the first thing, all we have is just a general account, or we could call it surplus account. Every penny of income that comes in goes into this general account. So I put in general account. Any of you that had any kind of bookkeeping at all, or any kind of record-keeping, what they call it, bookkeeping, accounting, anything like that. If you've had any of that at all, you know what a debit and a credit is, and a balance. Okay, so anything that comes in, any debits that we receive, anything that the money we receive, put that in your number one account. Anything that goes out, any check that you write, I've got the check numbers written down right here, any check that's written comes out of some account. If it doesn't come out of an account, then you can't write the check. So out of the general account, you have all your expenses. Now here's what we have. Our budget is $1,050 a week. So on January, whatever it was. We had a $964.53 offering, and we had $1,050 that went to an account. Fortunately, we had some surplus at that time, and so we had enough money to put to the account. So I wrote down $1,050 was taken out of the general account. And every one of those accounts, salary $230 was brought into that account. Car allowance $100. Office supplies and printing $15. Tracks and evangelism $20. Every account has its own ledger sheet. That money is put into that account. And then you carry your balance over to that account. Sunday school accounts, miscellaneous accounts, everything, missions account, everything is put into this account. Now, when I go back and we say we need to purchase a part for the bus, what we do is we look at bus ministry, see if there's any money in the bus ministry. Yes, we have some money in the bus ministry. It doesn't have little credit brackets around it, so there's some money in there. And so we say, okay, how much money do we need to spend on the bus ministry? We need to spend this amount. We look there and say, okay, here's how much you've got to spend. You can't spend above that. So your budget becomes your boss. That determines what you're going to spend. Now, wise is the person that say, preacher, why do you do that? When you have a limited income or when you have a certain amount of money, you got to know where every penny goes to. You just can't buy everything you want to buy. You can only buy what you've got with the money you've got to buy. We can't go out and purchase a new building right now. The money isn't in there to purchase a new building.